We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Hey, we got some more rain overnight this morning. I think it's moved on out of parts of the far west. Currently, temperatures, Beaver, Oklahoma, 76 degrees, actually 7 at Medford, 68 at Putnam, Texas, Mesonet Center. We got Lipscomb at 72, 69 degrees at McLean, 65 at, at Wellington, and 66 degrees at Montana, but they had 2.5 shower. But according to the Oklahoma Mesonet rainfall, Mangum had 2.78, Butler at 1.45, Arnett is at a little under a half inch at 0.42, which is right on. Mulberry lives on the north side of the river over there east of Pack Saddle Wildlife Management Area. He had a half inch, so that's pretty close. Biggest rainfall that I see is Tipton and Altus. All those areas, especially northeast of Tipton, that they look like they might have got in the 4 to 5 to 6 inch rainfall. So anyway, pretty good rain shower. Everybody can breathe a little easier now. A couple of the wheat pastures that I drove by this morning on my way that looked like cow poo-poo a few days ago looks way better this morning. So anyway, maybe these cold weather coming in first part of the week will set it back a little bit. But other than that, it was good news for everybody. All right. Let's see what happened overnight. These grain markets are just taking a beating here the last few weeks. So soybeans and grains were a little changed overnight as investors weigh strong demand for U.S. delivery in the current marketing year. This started September 1st, according to the USDA. In the report yesterday, China last week bought 132,000 tons of soybeans. Soybean sales to overseas buyers, 37 million tons in 7 days through October 12th. Steel, corn, and wheat sales are both down 3% versus the previous week. Harvest has 76% of soybeans were in the bin at the start of the week versus 62% a week earlier. About 59% of the corn crop was harvested. When things dry out here, that percentage is going to go way up. Winter wheat planting, or soybean futures to 434 even a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.34 cents. So just keep something in mind. That was corn a year ago. This month was almost $8. So it's 1 cent a bushel in Chicago. Kansas City futures were down 0.25 cent to 662 and 0.75 cents a bushel. Ukraine wheat and corn production will rise in the 23-24 marketing year, according to the USDA Foreign Ag Service. It said in a report yesterday, and wheat output in the war-torn nation is projected at 22.2 million metric tons, up 4% year over year, based on what wheat will be available. Corn production is forecast at 30.7 million metric tons in the current marketing year. That's up 17% annually and pretty similar to what the 21-22 crop was. The corn harvest for the 23-24 marking year is underway. Let's see what we got going on weather-wise in the nation. Winter weather will make its way across the northern plains throughout the day into tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service. Winter storm warnings and advisories have been issued for much of Montana and North Dakota. As much as a foot of snow is forecast for parts of northern North Dakota, and wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour expected. Storm warnings will remain in effect in the region until early Friday. Areas of blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility. Further south, flood watches have been issued for counties in south central Oklahoma and north central Texas. Showers will be widespread today and tonight. Heavy rain is possible. Severe thunderstorms are expected with quarter-size hail along with wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Of the area from Wednesday afternoon into early Thursday morning, the agency said the highest risk is across south central and north, south central Oklahoma and north Texas. So there you have it. Hey, I got some breaking news on this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Day. Happy day, happy hour. Anyway, starting Monday, the Today in Ag Show with Jimmy Clark will have a new title sponsor. The First National Bank and Trust out of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma, will become the new title sponsor for the Today in Ag Show. How about that? So anyway, when you go by the bank, make sure you thank him for being the sponsor of my show, because I thank him very much. So anyway, appreciate it. A lot of good people at both banks in Elk City and Sayre. So got that going on. Today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus. Our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by our 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org. There you have it. Matter of fact, I went by to pay my, I didn't know it, but Ronnie Browning, my main man, besides Larry, is a member of the Oklahoma Farm Bureau and in Roger Mills County. How about that? So you learn something new every day. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll give you a weather update out in the Texas Panhandle. And also, if the connection is good, he's hauling cattle to the feed yards in the Oklahoma Panhandle right now, but he's going across the Texas Panhandle. But I'm going to have a gentleman on here from Cordell, Oklahoma, Kevin Horn. He said he's getting, when I talked to him earlier, he's got a whole big batch of samples in from Kansas, but he likes to do our area ones, just another alternative way to get your hay tested if you don't send it to OSU. So anyway, it's very interesting. If you got enough hay samples, he will actually come to your place and do the samples on the spot. So pretty interesting, and it's good to know that he's in this area. So we'll be right back after this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
I'm for the home team. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 20th. 2008 head were sold, 12 head of steers at 458 brought 304, 4 at 470 brought 268, 7 at 530 brought 274, 12 at 561 brought 240, 11 at 606 brought 262, 236, 5 at 507 brought 216, 11 at 515 brought 220, 3 at 557 brought 238, 6 at 597 brought 228, 12 at 688 brought 215, 17 at 702 brought 204, butcher cows were 11 to 117, butcher bulls brought 80 to 125, bred cows were 1,000 to 1925, pairs brought 1950 to 2375. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
When it comes to raising market-topping cattle, it takes the cream of the crop. Black Hereford Ranch invites you to their 19th annual Fall Cream of the Crop Bull and Female Sale. It's Saturday, October 28th at 12:30 p.m. live at the ranch near Crawford, Oklahoma. Or bid online at cci.live. selling 110 19 to 26 month old wide body, heavy muscled, sound moving herd bull candidates, the good beefy kind. Also selling 40 of the very best AI'd spring calving cows and 40 outstanding bred heifers. Hereford, Charolais, Sam Angus, and Composites, the kind that'll produce market-topping offspring. For sale information, videos, online catalog, and requests, visit BlackHerfordRanch.com or call 580-309-0711. The Black Hereford Ranch Cream of the Crop Bull and Female Sale, Saturday, October 28th at 12:30 p.m. Join them at the ranch at Crawford, Oklahoma, or bid online at cci.live. When it comes to raising market-topping cattle, it takes the cream of the crop.
Hey, neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call, SEI Agritech, today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-06.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back. Here's your weather update for McLean, Texas. It's currently 66 degrees, humidity 75 degrees, dew points 58. The winds are out of the south at 16 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 33 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.76 inches, 76/100, and 8-inch soil temperature is 71 degrees. So we're going to give this a try with Kevin out there. He's on the road. If we lose signal, we'll wait until he gets back to Oklahoma, and we'll do another segment with him. But this is such a great segment. Kevin Horn, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Glad to have me on.
Oh, no, I'm excited to have you on because hay is my favorite subject to talk about, and you have something to do with hay. So anyway, tell everybody a little bit about who Kevin Horn is.
Well, I have it's an NIR feed testing lab. I used to run one back in the 90s in Cordell, and then I got out of it. I've been in the hay business my whole life, grew up in the hay field, and we all know the marketing side of hay, especially alfalfa, can be trying at times. It's a lot easier when you know what your product is, and this is a handy way to do it. Like I said, it's getting more difficult to get a test. Seems like you ought to wait a week to a month to get it back. A lot of times with marketing, you need to know something a lot quicker, even with a feed ration. So we decided last year, my wife and I, to invest in another lab, which I'd had one before. But the neat thing about the one we purchased this time, it's not stuck in an office. It can be, but with a little bit of effort, I can pack it up and I can go to the field. So that really interested us also, the versatility to be able to go places and do sampling with the farmers or meet a group of guys. I've done that a couple times and not have to send them to me, but then, you know, like yesterday, I had a box of them from Kansas show up, so I'll be in tonight, and I'll be working on them there at the house.
Now, would they, so the testing you do is identical to anything we can get from OSU or Texas A&M? It's identical, or is it better?
It's pretty well the same. It gives the moisture in your ADF, your NDF, and your relative feed value protein. It's a little bit shorter list. It comes, since it's portable, it operates a little bit different. Everyone's used to getting a full big sheet. Mine's more of the size of a gas printout receipt you get at the gas pump, but it's still very legible and easy to use. It's just not in the formal, bigger, you know, size paper like we've used to in the past, and like my old machine used to do too. But to be able to get the portable aspect of it, I had to not carry a printer around, so it has its own built-in printer. But other than that, it's pretty well gives you all the same, you know, stuff you get from OSU.
Right. So if you were to come to, say, my place, what makes it worth your trip to come? Do you need to, I mean, you just can't come out to do one sample. That's not affordable. No. So how many samples would you like to do? I was sitting there thinking I need four, but if I can get some of my neighbors to bring some, maybe we can do 10 or 15 or 20. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. That I'd like to get around 10 before I make the trip. And a lot of guys have done that. They'll call their neighbors because, you know, we use it mainly. The reason I started it in the 90s was for marketing alfalfa to the dairy industry, like we've all done with our alfalfa. But we've all realized, especially in the past few years, that our forage feeds can really get to where we don't have very much. We've been blessed to put up quite a bit of hay in western Oklahoma this year.
Right.
Even your grass hays and your Sudans, you know, the protein, you can kind of judge on how to feed it and not have as much waste. So
right.
There's a lot of different reasons for testing versus just the marketing side.
Right. And you can also test for nitrates and stuff like that.
No, I was going to tell you that. That is a question I'm asked a lot. I do have a place that I send them to for people.
Okay.
But and I can handle that for you if you'd like, but I do not have the equipment for nitrate. That's just a whole nother machine and a whole nother investment, and just didn't get into that.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing I noticed. Some hay samples that I've took over to the extension office, they do a wonderful job, but they're so overwhelmed up there. The nitrate tests, you can get those back real quick. But when you start testing for your protein and other stuff like that, that's like you said, it's taking weeks, months. And when you need to make a hay sale, boom, you kind of really need to, because farmers are farmers, ranchers are ranchers. Sometimes we get busy and forget, and then all of a sudden some guy calls and says, hey, I'll buy that 200 bales of hay if you'll get me a test on it. Well, you should have really already had one, but you know how busy we get out here. We don't have it. So anyway, it's great that you have that ready to go.
Yes. And another thing a lot of people don't realize, especially with alfalfas, if you plan on storing it for a while, you really need to wait a couple weeks before you run a test and let it go through its sweat and its change.
Right.
Because the nutrition factor can change from as soon as you baled it within a 2 or 3 week period afterwards. And it can go either way. I've done a lot of research with it and trying this and that. There's just no great pattern to it, but it will. If you plan on putting it in the barn and selling it in the winter, or you know it's going to be a few weeks, you really need to wait at least a couple weeks before you get me a sample, and then it'll pretty well stay unless it gets rained on or damaged or mold from foreign moisture. It'll stay the same test.
All right. Have you ever seen anything just crazy off the charts with numbers on any hay you've tested so far? You know, something that just stuck out in your mind, like, where did this hay come from? What is this? Have you done anything like that?
I've had it on both ends. I've had some hay that I went and looked, and it was just as beautiful as it could be, especially this year. Just green. I just knew it was above 180 RFE in my mind. And then I run a test and just can't believe that it's like 130, 140 RFE hay. A lot of that has to do with our weather's been so sporadic and you know, that plant not getting the right nutrients or moisture at the right time, and then I've had some hay that was striped and had 2/10 of rain on it, and then it tested 175 RFE. You know, it just, and that's why the dairymen, especially, they're so adamant on the test. And I do an annual, it's an expense on our part, but we have our machine tested and make sure it's in calibrate. We just got it back about a month ago and had it gone through and made sure it was right, because you know, you sure don't want to start varying, because it's pretty important what them numbers are, and it can vary your price from $20 to $40 a ton if that thing ain't right, you know.
And that's a lot of money if you're selling truckloads of it.
Yes, sir, it is. So I we try our best to make sure everything's right and up to date, and we're running our tests properly, and that way everybody's honest across the board, you know.
What a didn't you tell me you bought that machine overseas?
It come from over there. There is some people on this side of the ocean that's actually selling them.
Right.
But, yes, it's not an American-made deal. I wish it was. That would be wonderful if you could get one. But at this point in time, that technology that I'm aware of is not over here.
Right. No, and I knew that. That's the reason why I was asking you about it. I mean, when it comes to hay testing, I don't care if that hay tester was made in Panama, as long as it does a good job, it's important. It's very, hay testing is very important to everybody, I think, you know, because there's a lot of hay put up this year, some good, some bad, so you never know what you're getting.
Looking at it just doesn't do it anymore. I mean, especially in such a sporadic weather, the green doesn't mean it's good this year.
Yes, yeah, not that you test for it, but I had a hay field, I'm getting retested, but as a matter of fact, that's why I called you this morning, because I'm going to come see you maybe tomorrow if you're there, but there's you know, I had some really good irrigated sorghum that there's no way that it's high in nitrates, and then I kept the outside rounds where the water wasn't reaching it separate, and the outside rounds were good, and the ones where it was irrigated was high in nitrates, and I was like, what the heck, you know, so I got I'm going for a retest. It's hard for me to bite on that.
I understand. That's just something that a lot of people ask me, you know, how much should I test, even on the protein will vary from NRP from field to field, too. I've had guys say, well, I cut it at the same time, and every once in a while, you know, it does come out pretty close, but I've had some fields vary just because the nutrients in the soil is different from field to field, and your test can vary too. So it just is a very interesting tool, and I'm glad to have one again. I missed it all the years I didn't have it.
Well, and I think people are getting ready to find out that they're gonna really enjoy you having that deal, because hopefully you get overrun with tests.
And I will do my best to get them done promptly too. I'm not home today, but I'll be around the rest of the week. And I make it very important to get to them as quick as possible, because I know if I'm waiting on one, I'm in a hurry myself when I was waiting on them. And that's the purpose I brought this opportunity back to Western Oklahoma.
Well, we appreciate it.
For those who want to know, I charge $25 a sample. Is what we get, they can give me a call anytime, and I can get an address to them, or we can work out a location, whatever suits everyone. I'll do my best to accommodate.
Well, tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
My cell phone is area code 405-308-2240. Make sure you leave a voicemail or even text me if I don't answer. We all know how these phones can be, and a lot of times people will call and it doesn't even show that they called. So
right.
I'll take text messages, however, and then I will try to, you know, get things handled as promptly as possible for them.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for taking out time of your busy little schedule this morning you got going on. Where'd you say you was headed up to the feedlot?
Yeah, by Keys, Oklahoma, taking some cattle to the feedlot today, so... Just a little bit of everything. I'm kind of, you know how that goes. It's agriculture. You try to have a little everything going on. Try to make it work.
Yeah, everybody thinks because it rains, the farming and ranching shuts down, but that's not true.
No, you load cattle while it's raining. That's how that worked this morning, at least.
Yeah, and you told me you weren't complaining. So.
Nope, not a bit. I got really wet, and I was glad to be.
What do you think about the cattle market this year?
Oh, it's like everything. It makes you nerve-wracking almost.
Yes.
But,
yeah,
it's everything's interesting. That's just my overall answer. I hope we all it'll be curious to see how it all comes out and balances.
Well, yesterday, I always have Tuesdays, Heyday Tuesdays on the show. Try to anyway. And I know you deal with a lot of hay. What's your thoughts on the hay market this year?
It has been interesting. A lot of the reason is because the milk market's been down pretty bad. It has been a very weak market all year. It's tried to hold its ground in the alfalfa side, but I don't know. I had my hopes it would pick up in September, and it did a little bit. Movement did. I didn't see price really gain a whole lot. A little bit more local sales than usual, mainly because of the cattle deal, and now our wheat pasture's late, you know. But it changed a lot quicker than I thought it would from the previous year. I really thought we'd drag a stronger market longer than we did, but between the dairy market and the weather, it made a quicker change than I thought it would.
Well, I was wondering if the dairy market didn't have a lot to do. You know, last year and earlier this year when hay prices were just off the chart, you know, but I did notice alfalfa did go up, don't get me wrong, but it didn't go up crazy like your grass and your sorghum and your wheat and rye hay did. I mean, it got just, I think that thing, I mean, was great if you were selling, but just,
yes.
But you know, when you're paying $150 for a bale of rye or bale of wheat hay or good Bermuda grass hay, or not even good Bermuda grass hay, just Bermuda grass in general, you know, you got to sit back and think a little bit. Can I afford to do this, even with cattle prices going up? Because if cattle prices are going up, your feed costs are going up, nothing's really gaining anything there except it's just a bigger check.
Exactly. You're just handling more dollars is all. And that, if you're not really budgeting well, that can get you in a mess real quick.
Yeah, so why do you think, I mean, alfalfa did go up, but it didn't go up quite like those others. Why do you think that?
It really lands, and a lot of guys that grow alfalfa don't realize it, I don't think, but it lands on the dairy market a lot stronger than a lot of guys want to realize, because most of your cow guys aren't going to buy that really high test in alfalfa. Mainly because if you feed it straight, you end up getting the scours, and you got to do a feed ration and have a mixer and stretch it and, you know, put roughage with it. And then most guys just put a bale of hay out, you know.
Right.
And so when you're depending basically on your dairy market for that, it's going to cap out if they don't have any money.
Right. That makes sense.
That's just where it's at. And, boy, if you want to, you want to talk to some guys singing a rough song, call you a dairyman this year. Whoo, my.
I got a report here in just a little bit on it, because, you know, the farm bill is a major player in the dairy market. And mm-hmm. We don't have a farm bill right now. And I got a report from Secretary of Agriculture Valsack coming up here pretty quick that points out that dairy deal, because January 1st the milk might go off the charts.
Wow. Yep. Well,
so
that's a positive sign for maybe hay production to at least start moving.
Yes.
Right now they're kind of hand to mouth. I do a lot of deal with some dairymen and do some testing for some and market to some of them, and I've known some of them guys for up on 30 years now, and boy, they're we were filling barns last year, and this year they're calling and saying, hey, we'll need another load next week to carry us another week to feed.
Wow.
You know, it's just a totally different atmosphere. So
it is. Well, one more time, tell everybody your phone number that they can get a hold of you to get some hay tested.
All right. It's area code 405-308-2240. We'll be happy to service anybody with their testing needs best we can.
All right, Kevin, be careful out there on the road, and thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. All right, bye. All right, I love talking to people like that. Anyway, hey, let's take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. And when we come back, I'll have some weather for you, ag weather from up northwest Oklahoma.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all the EverettsWelding.com. Again, that's EverettsWelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Man, I was looking at that radar. That's a big old storm. It's starting to break up in central western Oklahoma, or central Oklahoma. There's a little bit of rain actually right east of Hobart right now. But that thing stretches all the way from Mexico all the way up in Indiana and Iowa. It's a big old storm putting some water out. So that's good for everybody coming through the farm belt there. All right. Buffalo, Oklahoma, currently at 70 degrees, dew point 63, humidity 79. The winds are out of the east, 4 miles an hour, 24-hour rainfall, 0.14, 10-day, 0.17 inches of rain, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 69, fractional water, 1-day average 10-inch, 0.2, sunset at 6:51. Chance of thunderstorms today, 70%, 78 for your high. South winds, 14 to 15 tonight, 40% chance of rain and thunderstorms. Low of 58 tomorrow, mostly sunny and 84. And I was looking at the Long Ranger. Enjoy tomorrow. It's all downhill from there. Not so bad for Friday and Saturday, but Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday – back to the real world for last part of October. Matter of fact, I've got fired up. I'm ready to do some bow hunting. I'm going to get out. I don't know why. I didn't do any hunting at all last year after I lost my best buddy, my bird dog. But it's back in my blood. I'm after them white-tailed deer, so we'll see what happens. All right, let's see what else we got going on here. We haven't checked in. Let's see what the markets are doing, current grain markets are doing. And they are updated. December corn, 482, down 2 today. November soybeans down a little over 4 at 1290. Soybean meal is down $4 at 430.20 a short ton for December. Soybean oil is actually up almost a full penny at 52.29 for December. Hard red winter wheat down 11 cents. I mean, these grains are just taking a beating here the last week or two. December is at 652. March is at 662. Good news, cotton, number two, December, 83.86. Up almost a full penny at 0.93 to be exact. March is 85.54 from a man out there, sugardaddy.com at Delhi, Oklahoma. He's making money again today. March sugar is 27.63 cents a pound. He's doing good. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, December is at 84.85, up $1.11 today. And what else we got? Natural gas is at 2.99, up 0.02 cents for November. Cattle are gaining back again. They gained a little bit yesterday. They're coming back nicely today. Not crazy, but nicely. October, 181.07. And it flashed on me. December's 179.32. February, 181.25. Feeder cattle for October is 240 even, up 57 cents. November's at 237.70, up $2.27. And feeder cattle for January, 236.32, up $1.47. Lean hogs are even in the green today. December, 67.45. February, 70.65. April, 76.67. All right, I had some messages coming in on the line. 2.8 inches at Mangum so far. At Moorwood, 1.29 inches for a two-day total. So there you go. Thank you very much. All right, let's see what the man, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, has to say. Without a reviving the 2018 law, which expired on September 30th, or enactment of a new farm bill, the government guaranteed price of fresh milk will more than double on January 1st. Congress will have to extend the life of the 2018 Farm Bill into 2024 so it can finish work on its successor, said Agriculture Secretary Mr. Tom. Most people acknowledge there will be an extension, although its duration is unclear. Without a revival of the 2018 law, which expired September 30th, or enactment of the new Farm Bill, guaranteed price of fresh milk will more than double on January 1st, and crop supports also will soar under the 1949 agriculture statute. Arkansas Senator John Boozman, the Senate senior Republican on the Senate Ag Committee, has recommended a one-year extension. During a teleconference, Vilsack said chances of passing the farm bill this year were declining, in part due to the prolonged fighting among House Republicans over who to elect as a speaker, and I don't get that. I mean, what is going on? Come on, let's go. This is your chance. If you're a Republican, this is your chance. But no, let's play games. They selected Majority Whip Tom Emmer for the post on Tuesday, but he dropped out a few hours after the announcement. Extension of the 2018 law could be added as a rider to short-term legislation yet to be written to keep the government open after November 17th. When stopgap funding runs out. I bet there's some wheeling and dealing going on up there in Washington with the Israel deal, the Ukraine deal, and some other stuff going on. I bet they're just, it's probably scary what they're doing up there. All right, we come back from this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. I want to tell you a story about an ag teacher who is probably one of the last World War II veterans. It's an awesome story. So I'll have that for you when we get back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Blair Tire and Feed is hitting the pause button so they can renovate. Blair Tire and Feed will be closed from October 27th through November 5th. Then they'll reopen Monday, November 6th, and they'll be better than ever. But even during renovations, they'll still answer the phone and service trucks will still run. So if you've got a tire that needs fixed, just call 580-563-2692. 563-2692. Blair Tire and Feed is shutting down for renovations October 27th through November 5th. Then reopen November 6th. Thanks for your patience. They'll see you soon.
Sugar Creek Casino presents. Country music supergroup Lone Star returns this Saturday night. Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
Every little thing that you do, baby, I'm a
special guest McBride and the Ride.
Written on sacred ground.
Lone Star with McBride and the Ride at Sugar Creek Casino. Your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wall, keep all the profit.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather for, I picked Altus today. 67 degrees at Altus, dew point 65, humidity's 92. Winds are out of the south at 8 miles an hour, 24-hour rainfall, 0.83 inches of rain. 10-day total rainfall, 2.52 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 69 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.4. Sunset at 6:52. Today, 100% chance of rain. I think it's raining there now. The storm moving back in. I think it's rebuilding a little bit. 75 degrees. The wind south, 13 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, 60% chance of thunderstorms are likely. 62 degrees, southeast winds, 10 to 12 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 83, calm winds, 8 to 10 miles an hour. So that's calm for us, even though it's not calm. How's that? All right, My father-in-law and mother-in-law sent me this story from Billings, Oklahoma, Bruce and Karen Durkee, and they actually got to meet this guy at Enid, but this is a real, real cool story. WW2 veteran celebrates his 101st birthday, and from my understanding, he still gets around really good, and he's still pretty witty. H.B. Evans celebrated his 101st birthday Wednesday with family and friends of the Barnstormers restaurant at Enid, Oklahoma, there at the airport. He is one of the few remaining heroes of World War II, said Elaine Johns, executive director of the Wood Ring Wall of Honor in Veterans Park, who arranged the gathering. Evans was born on September 6, 1922. Evans has been notified he will receive the French Legion of Honor Award from their French consulate of a special award ceremony coming up November 10th. The award their families. Evans was an engineer on a B-12 bomber, responsible for all the operational functions of the engines during the flight. His crew was part of the 93rd Bomb Group of the 8th Air Force and entered combat on October 9th, 1942, by attacking steel, railroad, and engineering works. Attacked the formation, but only one B-24 failed to return from the mission. The detachment struck heavy blows at enemy shipping and communications. They destroyed engine repair works, harbors, power plants, and other big targets in Europe. During World War II, at low altitude mission against the Pulaski oil fields in Romania. It was the major source of petroleum production for the Axis forces in the Mediterranean, and the 330th Squadron carried out its bombing of the oil installations despite heavy losses inflicted by attacks from enemy, and was awarded a Distinguished Unit Citation for its operation. The 93rd Bomb Group concentrated on the bombardment of strategic targets in addition to dropping supplies to Allies and troops in Holland. Evans and his crew struck enemy transportation and other targets during the Battle of the Bulge before he and his B-24 bomber was shot down after 22 missions. After parachuting out, he was smuggled across Europe by members of the French underground and returned to England. I don't like to think about it and have tried to forget. I lost my crew. This is something's not in this deal, but he was the only surviving member of that 10 or 11 man crew. And so he said it's been hard getting over it. He doesn't talk about it. He returned home to Oklahoma and used the GI Bill to complete his education at Oklahoma A&M, graduating with a degree in ag education. He was a veterinarian and taught agriculture at Perry and Billings. He was an ag teacher. How about that? He said, I had a sheep program that got all the sheep farmers raising their lambs on the same weaning schedule. This got the buyers from Kansas City and led to my job as a farm representative for three banks in Kansas. He married the love of his life, Maxine, and raised three children. I'm surprised I survived the war, and have lived so long, Evan said. It's very nice to see my three kids retire. How about that? Man in ag, and he's a hero in a lot of people's face, but I'm just in awe about Battle of the Bulge. I mean, he was part of a lot of stuff. Battle of the Bulge, it's crazy. D-Day, just anyway, my hero. So anyway, most of your great, great soldiers, not all, but most of your great, great soldiers come from something related with agriculture. I don't know if you guys notice that, but it's pretty true. Farm boys and ranch boys raised out in the country are just badass soldiers. How's that? That's all I got to say about that, because I spent 12 years in there, and I know. So we'll see what happens with that deal. Okay, let's see what else is going on here. USDA's latest livestock, dairy, and poultry outlook reported that weighted average price in September for feeder steers weighing 750 to 800 pounds at the Oklahoma City National Stockyards was $255.39 per hundredweight, an increase of $6.65 per hundredweight from August and nearly $82 higher than September. In the first two sales in October, feeder steers were steady at $250.50 per hundredweight. But on October 16th, that's when Brandon and I talked about it yesterday, something got leaked. Feeder steer prices dropped to $242.83 per hundredweight. The pullback in prices is reflected in USDA's latest fourth quarter 2023 price forecast at $254 even per hundredweight. The September average price for fed steers in a five area marketing region was $183.71 per hundredweight, which the USDA says has been pretty steady since June, but nearly $40 per hundredweight higher year over year. Packer margins have declined since early September as boxed beef prices fell and fed cattle prices remain pretty flat. USDA expects cattle prices to increase through the end of the year, but less than previous anticipated, as expected weak packer margins will likely limit much upside to cattle prices. As such, it lowered the Fed steer price forecast for the fourth quarter 2023 to $185 per hundredweight. These lower prices expectations were carried through to the first half of 24 for the annual average of $185 per hundredweight. Meanwhile, nearby cattle futures have seen sharp declines since the release of the October cattle on feed report. December live cattle futures closed at $188.35 on October 2nd. They closed 10 cents lower at $178.35 on October 23rd. January feeder cattle futures closed higher at $259.35 per hundredweight on October 6th. They closed sharply lower on October 23rd at $235.70 per hundredweight. All right, hope you guys enjoyed the show today. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.